Welcome back to the clubhouse here in the McAdoo studios. Kyle Bailey, now joined by Chris Coleman and Will Stewart of TechSideline.com. Haven't said that in a while. Will, how are you?
good.
Good. Yeah. All right, I forgot what you looked like there for a little while.
Sometimes that happens to me too, because I try not to look in the mirror at my age, so you kind of forget what you look like.
Man, I don't know. You look good for 50, man.
Well, thank you.
I've seen some guys that are 50 years old that look like they're 80, man. You're far from that.
So what I always tell people is when I was 49, nobody made a comment about how I looked for my age. And then when I turned 50, people said, you don't look 50.
Well, see, I grew up hearing people say that to my dad. And, you know, they always drew the reference to Dick Clark. You know, they used to call him like a Dick Clark, that he always looked the same over a course of like 25-year period. So I recognize when people look younger than they are. I think it's...
I got a brother who's 58, and he looks like he's about 45.
Yeah?
Yeah.
That's a nice thing to have. That's a nice thing to say about somebody. All right, mm-hmm. So it's good to have you back.
All right, thank you.
All right, so we just talked to Malcolm Delaney a little while ago, and I would love to hear your best Malcolm Delaney story. Anybody got a favorite here? I mean, it doesn't have to be this awesome anecdote, but just...
Well, I don't have an anecdote or anything like that. The best I ever saw Delaney play was in the first half of the Clemson game when he was a sophomore, and I think he had 25 points at halftime. Yeah. At that game. And he even made like a half-court shot to end that half. And he was just on fire. And you know, he really started coming along right at the end of his freshman year. I think he scored 20 against Carolina. He lit it up in the NIT that year and then just picked up. As soon as his sophomore year started, he was an all-ACC player. He was one of those rare guys who was an impact player for 4 years. I mean, some guys come in and you know, they're contributors their first couple of years, but then they don't really blow up till they're juniors, like Dorenzo Hudson, somebody like that. Delaney was good from day one.
He was good.
And I remember doing I think it was after his junior year, I did an analysis of his free throw shooting and where he was going to wind up in the record books and all that stuff. And Delaney was that guy. You know, Bimbo Coles got to the line a lot. Bimbo was really good at driving into the middle, shooting, getting fouled. But Bimbo, for most of his career, was only about as 75% free throw shooter. Not that great. Not terrible, but not great. But Malcolm shot around, you know, around 90% or so his entire career.
Yep.
So he got to the line as much or more than Bimbo did, but he made more of them too. And I never followed up after his career was over, but I'm sure if you look in the record books, he holds all of the free throw records. So, you know, everybody thinks of him as a Baltimore tough guy, good shooter, but he was phenomenal at getting to the free throw line and scoring from the line. And Virginia Tech, Chris knows this stuff a lot better than I do. That's one thing that we're missing last year, right, was points from the line.
They couldn't even get to the line.
So, you know, he got to the line and he scored when he was there. And in basketball, people talk about free throw percentages and all that stuff. It's not really about having everybody on your team be a good free throw shooter, but having the guys who are good at it be the ones that get to the line.
You know, Buzz says one of the things he wants to do is have his teams make more free throws than the other team attempts. That's a good way to win. It's a good way to steal a lot of points and win basketball games. Delaney used to do that by himself.
He
would win, make 10 or 12 free throws in a game every now and then, which was sometimes be as many or more than the other team would attempt.
Yeah. I mean, he just had a toughness about him, and Will alluded to it. It was that Baltimore toughness.
Baltimore tough guy.
You know, he's a Baltimore tough guy. And I think Devin Wilson's a pretty tough kid. You know, I watch him play. He's a really tough type of guy, but I don't know they've had any players that were a Malcolm Delaney kind of tough since
tough,
then.
The combination of tough and talent.
Right.
You know,
right.
He's just, he had an attitude about him. And, you know, sometimes that attitude could manifest itself in some poor ways. I mean, Will's always used an example of
Wake Forest game.
Of a Wake Forest game. We ended up winning this game when they were ranked number one, but he thought he got fouled at one point. Instead of getting back on defense, he just starts yelling at the ref, and the guy goes right by him and gets a layup.
Yeah, this was actually well after Wake Forest was ranked number one. Richie Davis and I went down to Winston-Salem on a whim and watched Tech and Wake Forest play. And Wake Forest seats something like 13,000 to 17,000 people in that stadium, that Coliseum.
Right.
That place was empty.
Yeah.
So we went down. We sat like four rows behind the Tech bench. And the play Chris was talking about happened right in front of me. Malcolm came across half court, got his pocket picked, and didn't even turn to try to chase the guy down. He just, you know, gave the ref the what the heck. And Seth started yelling at the ref, too. So while Malcolm and Seth are yelling at the ref, Wake Forest players getting a layup at the other end.
Yeah. He was fun, man. Those were fun teams to watch.
Yeah, they were fun teams to watch. Too bad. It doesn't make any sense that Malcolm Delaney and Jeff Allen and Dorenzo Hudson
Terrell
and A.D.
Bell.
Visayo, Terrell Bell, that group together, that they never made it into a tournament together.
I know. I know.
And I know that's not what we're talking about, but it's still hard to believe to look back on. That might be the winningest team, the winningest core group of players in ACC history to not make an ACC tournament.
I wouldn't be shocked.
I would be willing to bet that.
I wouldn't be shocked at all.
I think in 4 years, they won almost 90 games. They won over 20 games every year. They won 25 games 1 year.
Yeah.
Those guys won a crazy amount of games and never went to the NCAA tournament.
Just to your point, I looked it up quickly, and if you said this, I must have missed it, but just to be sure, he set a school record for career free throws made, 721 in four seasons. Yeah.
Goodness.
That's ridiculous, man.
What about the record for three free throws attempted?
Oh, let's see, 853.
Yeah.
853. Shot 853 career free throws in four seasons.
What about free throw percentage? Is he at the top of that list?
84.5%.
So there were times where he got up around 90, but I'm remembering incorrectly.
Well, yeah, he got better and better from the line as his career progressed. You know? Yeah. So that's he holds a lot of records where he's up there that some people may not realize this. What, second all time in assists, third all time in points. You know, he had a very, very fruitful career in the box score. And Chris is right. I mean, that group of guys won a lot of games without ever making an NCAA tournament. Those are talented teams.
And that's a whole other radio show.
Yes, it really is. It really, really is. All right, so who's the next Malcolm Delaney? There's a question for you.
It'd be nice if one was on the team right now.
Right?
I don't think there's a Malcolm Delaney on this team. You know, he was a combo guard that could play the point. He could play off the ball. I think Seth Allen's really, really good, but he's not tall enough to be Malcolm Delaney. He's going to get all or most of his minutes at the one. You could play him with Justin Robinson, though it's not quite ideal. I don't know if one of these other guards, you know, Jalen Hudson's obviously very talented. Ahmed Hill could have played almost anywhere in the country. Justin Bibbs is on the under-19 team. None of those guys really remind me of Delaney, though. They don't have a Delaney-type game. That's not to say that they can't be as good or better. They're just not – I don't think there's a similar player on this team. Now, I will say that this current group of players, I think there's more talented depth amongst this current group than there was that group we were just talking about.
Yeah, Delaney wound up playing 36 minutes a game or something like that.
Right. And, you know, you're not going to see that with this group. I mean, there's four wings who can play. You know, I think Justin Robinson will be able to help this year. So we're three deep at point guard. So, you know, the depth is better. But, you know, will they have the star power this year? We know Seth Allen's a really good player. Just from his days in Maryland, starting point guard in the ACC could be an impact player. He's going to make a big difference on this team. But I don't know if there's like a first team all ACC player on this team like Delaney was.
Yeah, and Seth Allen, just as an aside here, there's something about that kid that I watch him. I've interacted with him just a few times, but he's obviously a very good basketball player. He's established an ACC point guard his freshman year in Maryland before they made the jump to the Big Ten, but is there something about him personally? You know, he's just such a happy-go-lucky guy. He seems to be liked by everyone. He's very community-oriented. I mean, he kind of feels like the consummate leader at that position. We haven't seen him play a game in Blacksburg yet, but just having watched him and been around him, he's got that kind of feel to him.
Well, Chris worked the game, so he was over on press row across from the benches. Excuse me. And I sat most games this year. I actually sat behind the bench, and I like sitting behind the bench and watching the way the guys interact. And he's got a... From what I could see, he does have a magnetic personality. He's charismatic, I think. And I think even when he transferred, some Maryland fans came over to our board and said, you're really going to like this guy.
Yeah.
Never mind him as a basketball player, but you're going to like him and your fans are going to rally around him.
Well, it just seems like with Buzz being such a philanthropic guy and you know, the Buzz's bunch events and things like that, when they're so active in the community that when you see those pictures and you see the little blurbs written about it, it always seems like Seth's been front and center in those things, which I think speaks volumes.
Yeah,
I think so too. And I think he understands what his role is as an ACC point guard. Like it or not, you know, you're the guy that is front and center of your team. You're the quarterback, right?
Yep.
It's just like when you see Virginia Tech football on a team activity, you always see Michael Brewer at it. He knows his role. He knows who he is. And I think Seth Allen has an understanding of who he is also. He's, if you think about it, him and Devin Wilson are the most experienced players on this basketball team. And they both play point guard, and, you know, that's really where you want your experienced guys to be at.
All right. So football's on the forefront of our mind right now, but we'll jump into that in the next segment. But with what little time we have left here, there's just something about it, and I know we've joked a bit about this. I think you were gone the week that Chris and I, you know, laughed about the fact that it seems Virginia Tech basketball, for the first time in what seems like ages, will be able to scrimmage and practice with a full complement, a full roster of scholarship players. David Thiel and I were talking about Chris Clark specifically the other day and how much he loves watching him play and how hard he plays, which is something I've gotten to see, you know, up close and personal in D.C. last summer. I think this team's going to be pretty deep just in terms of raw or scholarship players. I don't know what the rotation's going to look like. I don't know how many ACC games they win. I know things got kind of tough last year, some losses and close losses against teams they really had no business competing with at times. I think this team, if I'm setting the over-under at ACC wins this year, I think I'm going to set it conservatively at 4.5, but I think you could set it at 5.5 for over-under ACC wins this
year.
Well,
how many do they play, 18 now?
18 now,
18
yeah.
Now, right.
Yeah.
I think they'll be significantly better. I would take your over on both of those.
Right.
I think they'll win 7 or so games.
Yeah, I had them at 6 or 7.
Yeah.
And I'm leaning towards 7 because...
That sounds about right.
Because the bottom half of the ACC still is what it is.
Yeah, it still is what it is, and I think they'll improve this year, and I think they'll have a good chance to make the NCAA tournament the next year because they'll be a very, very experienced group with a lot of minutes playing together. So I think they'll be one of those teams that has a great shot to make the NCAA tournament 2 years from now. This year, I think they're going to look a lot more functional, and this year is just about setting the table for next year. Is pretty much what this year's about.
And without sitting and looking at the schedule, if you asked me, I'd say 7.
Yeah.
That would be 7-11, which would, you know, when you say 7 out of 18, that doesn't sound great. You say 7-11, you're 2 games away from 500, which for Virginia Tech basketball at this point is really good.
It'll be a 5-game improvement, you know, in the regular season from last year. I mean,
absolutely.
2-16.
Yeah. You'll take a 5-game improvement, you know, from year 1 to year 2.
Sure.
So I think we all agree on that. I've got Chris Coleman and Will Stewart of TechSideline.com here with us in studio for the entirety of hour number 2. Send me an email, kyle.bailey@cumulus.com, and you can find us on Twitter, twitter.com/theclubhouseKB. We'll take a break, come back, some football talk to get to. ACC media kickoff on Sunday. Monday's when it really gets underway. And don't forget, we're live from Radio Row Monday and Tuesday afternoons. Myself and Dwight Vick will talk some football when we come back. Keep it locked to Super Sports 101.7.